Times, they are a-changin'. For one thing, Democrats and Republicans are singing the same tune on Capitol Hill regarding criminal justice reform. Just listen.
There are two big problems that we face as a result of these mandatory minimum sentences within our federal system.
I share the concern that we all have for a federal prison system that is 30% over capacity and costs $6 billion a year already.
That's from a Senate debate with a remarkable lack of disagreement back in March. Senators Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, and Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island. The prison reform movement has bipartisan momentum. There is legislation moving toward the floor that could change how convicts are incarcerated more significantly than we've seen in years. We've spoken at length on this program of how President Obama has taken this cause on. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, is Congress following the president's lead here? Why now for this apparent congressional unity?
You know, in a way, John, the president is following Congress's lead, and Congress is following the lead of a lot of experts and a lot of advocates who've been gunning for these issues for years. And you're right, bipartisanship is popping up all over Congress. It's fairly remarkable. You played Mike Lee and Sheldon Whitehouse from the right and the left. How about Rand Paul and Dick Durbin, John Cornyn? Cory Booker, right, left in the House, too. It's all over the place. So first, let's talk about one or two quick issues that are likely to get into criminal justice reform. It's very, very broad. There's prison reform and there's sentencing reform. Those are the two big areas that Congress looks like it wants to attack here. And on sentencing reform, there's a couple of key issues that both Republicans and Democrats say they want to get at. The first is mandatory minimums. A lot of lawmakers blame the mandatory minimum laws of the 80s and 90s for overcrowding prisons today, largely with nonviolent offenders. Not exclusively, of course, but they're the problem, the nonviolent, primarily drug offenders. Crowding up the prisons because mandatory minimums have taken discretion away from judges and juries and given it, they say, to prosecutors and legislators to set sentences. People go to prison for long periods of time for drug charges. There's going to be a move probably to ban solitary confinement for juveniles. Also, new pathways for people to expunge their records after they do their time. One of the big problems that more and more lawmakers are talking about is once you do go to prison and then you come out, because you have to check that box that you're a convicted felon and you get that criminal background check if you're a security guard or a network administrator on intranets or information technology expert, those people have a very, very hard time getting jobs and feel like they're still serving their sentence long after they're in prison, John. I know we've covered that on the show, too. Fair sentencing, mandatory minimums, also allowing people retroactively, if they were convicted of drug crimes with crack cocaine, this is a big one. Disparities in sentencing between crack and other forms of cocaine, like powder cocaine or heroin, that leads to major racial disparities in sentencing. Some of those changes may be retroactive so that people who are serving sentences for crack may be able to get their sentences shortened. There are a lot of other aspects, too, but those are some of the broad areas that the Senate especially is working on right now.
And is New Jersey's Cory Booker a bridge builder on all of this?
He's one of the major lawmakers on this, but he's not alone. You know, what's remarkable about this, John, is the ideological breadth of what we've seen here. And let me give you sort of a snapshot of why this moment has arrived politically. There's a broad realization of how much money the United States is spending on 1.5 million incarcerated Americans, according to the Justice Department. Now, the estimates are all over the place, but one estimate is $250 billion between the federal system and state and county prisons and jails. And this is an era of budget cutting. I report on this show all the time about government shutdowns and the need to have austerity and cut budgets. Well, people are starting to look at the incarceration budget, wonder why are we spending all this money now? Another big factor, John, I think, is the rise of the libertarian movement on the conservative side. Everybody knows they've gotten more powerful and more influential over the last couple of years. And this is a political group that has viewed the drug war itself with a lot of skepticism, has viewed a lot of drug laws with skepticism, and sees overcrowded prisons as a form of government intrusion, particularly for nonviolent criminals. Why are they in prison for so long, and why can't they get work afterward after they've paid their debt? There's been an increasing amount of attention, of course, to solitary confinement and racial disparities in sentencing. But John, here's the big one, I think, the most important factor. factor that's added to the political mix that makes this possible now. Violent crime rates are low, down 15% since 2009, down nearly 50% since 1994. The old days of politicians accusing each other of being soft on crime, those are gone. Violent crime is low. It's the perfect time for politicians to try to reform the system.
But whether politicians will take that step into reforming things for violent offenders, that's the real question. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it.